Check this out.
It is time.
Check it out, y'all.
You are now about to witness.
And it goes a little something like this.
Alexander Ovechkin curl and drag to the back end. He scores! Simply sensational! Brodeur looking for the goal. Down the ice. Score! Bartek Brodeur!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back to another edition of the Game Time Decision Podcast. I'm your host, Colton Prell. Joining me today, it's Sean Tierney. This is part two of our hockey analytics series. We spoke with Ian Fleming earlier in part one, talked all about goalie stats there. Today, a little more on data visualization. Sean is an expert in that. You can find him on Twitter at Charting Hockey. You can read him on The Athletic or on Hockey Graphs. Sean, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me here. I'm excited to be here.
I'm very excited about this one. All right, let's get right into it, I guess. If you had to explain to someone who is new to the sport and who is new to the community about hockey statistics, you know, where are we now? Where have we been and where are we going? What's next?
Yeah, I think right now we're in a phase where we have a lot of stats available to us. They're plentiful. So we're fortunate that we have Corsica, we have Natural Stat Trick, Puckalytics. So, you know, the stats that the advanced stats you want are out there. They're at your fingertips to go find. This is something, you know, if you look back 5 or 6 years ago, those resources weren't out there for people that were looking. You had to sort of make them yourself or dig around. And now the stats are out there. The way forward is, how do we sort through the stats that we have and decide, you know, which ones are meaningful, which ones repeat year over year, which ones say something that we can actually do anything about, or a coach could actually do anything about for his players, or a GM could actually act upon in any kind of meaningful way. So, you know, going forward, we're going to have to just sift through the plethora of data that we have and decide which ones matter, which ones don't. And that might be sort of the way forward over the next couple of years.
What do you think the immediate next steps is in terms of ideas? Is it going to be player tracking when we get cameras, kind of like the NBA? Is it going to be velocity stuff like we were promised for the World Juniors, but our World Championship, but didn't deliver? Is it going to be something that no one's really put forward yet?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're all kind of excited or interested to see what that step will look like when we have puck tracking and when we're able to, you know, get some kilometers traveled stuff for players, or some puck speed, or some of those different things. I'm not sure exactly what that'll look like. And there are a couple of, you know, companies that are in the community right now offering certain sorts of player tracking things. And, you know, it's sort of, it's not really clear in a public way what the value is or what level of service they're offering. We just don't really know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like that's a bit of a hang up there, wondering, you know, what will be available to us. I think what we can do in the interim, and Ryan Stimson, who's another Hockey Graphs writer, sort of, you know, opened my eyes to the possibility for this. We can take the stats that we have and we can go to video and we can look and see, you know, how does that stat actually look when you're watching a player? What is that, you know, possession? What does their Corsi4 look like on a good player? Or if we're using, shutdown lines, zone exits, what does it look like when a player is a great zone exit artist? What do those numbers mean when you actually connect it to a game? And so I think that's the way forward, is making that connection between, you know, watching the game and the stats that come out of it. And then maybe you can find some actionable information to provide.
That's a great transition to my next question for you, because these stats have become fairly relevant and commonplace in the hockey Twitter community. Less so when it comes to coaches. They're a little more hesitant, probably because of the number of times they've been sold snake oil in the past. Which brings me to Carolina's coach Bill Peters, because he's someone who works with Eric Tolsky. He's accepting of the analytics, but he doesn't show his players them. And so it's interesting to see you say how Ryan opened your eyes to that. Do you think there is a reason why players maybe shouldn't see this, or is there maybe there is something that Bill's doing wrong, and maybe these players should be seeing these stats, especially when paired with video, to say, you know what, this is where I can be better, or this is where I'm doing something really well, and I need to continue that?
Yeah, and I think that's interesting. I'm not sure that if I was a coach or if I was the general manager that I would, you know, go down with a stat sheet and let Justin Falk know that his, you know, CF percentage is looking really sharp of late.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what, you know, what does that mean to him anyway? And what am I trying to get out of that interaction, you know, from my angle too? So, you know, in terms of posting it on the bulletin board after a game, here's how your possession numbers look, guys. I'm not sure if there's much to be had there necessarily. It wouldn't be my first move, but I think that's the interesting work of the analysts that are, that have transitioned to working for a team. How do you take those numbers and then say something meaningful to a player? So you maybe don't want to show them their scoring chances for percentage, but you can say to a person, when you're on the ice, the other guys are getting into our slot more often for shots than we are. And so we need to do something with our strategy. We need to do something with our pairings or our line combos. There's things that we can do to change those numbers going forward. But in terms of, you know, the raw data or making some sort of ranking or posting it for players, I think that's the way that you might, you know, get some of that resistance that we've seen in general. That's the way you put up walls. The job of an analyst right now is probably twofold, that, you know, you understand the numbers, but you know how to communicate them to a coach or a general manager in a way that they can act on them using the language they're familiar with.
And I think that's where the work that you do and the work that Mika McCurdy does as well could come in handy. Because you're right. Going to a player with a stat sheet, you know, unless they're a guy like Colin Greening, who graduated with like a 4.0 GPA, most of them are going to turn off of that. But if you can show them a visualization of, say, hey, look, here's where the shots you're allowing are coming from. You know, they're getting really tight into the crease. They're shooting right from the slot, or, you know, Ovechkin does a great job of getting open on that left dot. You know, we've got to watch that. We've got to protect that. You know, that's where they can be handy. But I'm with you. I don't see what you gain from going to a guy like Justin Falk and being like, hey, you had 14 exits this game. Great job. You know, I'm not sure he gets much from that other than, okay, I brought the puck out of the zone.
Right. And I think you're sort of making the bridge there. I think the power of something like visualization, which, you know, I've really dove into over the past year or 2 years, year and a half anyway. What does a raw number mean? It, you know, nothing without some context. But when you have a visualization to go with it, you can pack so much information into a single view. So now we're not saying to, you know, Falk, who's our example, you have 14 clean zone exits. You can say, this is where you ranked relative to your teammates. This is how you ranked in the game versus some other players. And when you have that picture that can capture all these different elements all in one snapshot, it's something that's a little easier to, you know, pull a variety of insights out of.
I'm completely on board with that. And that's a perfect transition to my next question for you, is because you have nailed simplifying these complex ideas and presenting them in a way that is just so easy to digest. And, you know, even when you're putting out new things that maybe it's the first time I'm seeing them, within seconds, it's like, okay, I get what he's showing. It's, you do a really, really good job of simplifying these at times complex ideas and bridging the gap between the people who are creating these statistics, who are very mathematically inclined, just brilliant people, and people like myself who, you know, barely got through high school math. How do you do that? How do you manage to bridge that gap and just make these numbers and these ideas so accessible for everybody?
Well, I mean, I appreciate the kind words for sure. The first thing I think of when I think of, you know, trying to make a viz that somebody could get some meaning out of right away, regardless of their level of expertise, is the people that motivated me at first to go this route. And so Micah, who you mentioned, his viz work is fantastic. So you know, it's easy to suck meaning out of it right away. I think of Dominic Gallimini, who's Mimico Hero, the creator of the Hero charts. He was a real inspiration for me early on too, with the way you could, you know, compare players using the bars that he had, and it almost looked like NHL 14 or whatever it was, mm-hmm. back when he started making them. You know, you could really get a lot of meaning in a way that we were familiar with or comfortable seeing. So for me, a lot of the early work was looking at these people who do such good work and asking them questions, or, you know, looking through their stuff and what can I steal from them. And, you know, and in Dominic's case, he might not even remember, but I used to, you know, message him all the time to say, what were you thinking here? What did you do here? And he was always, always so good to answer. And so I feel like for me and my, if I'm providing viz that people do get meaning out of, you have a real responsibility to offer something useful. And if anybody ever has a question, I feel like, you know, that's, you have a responsibility to try to explain yourself anytime you're putting something out there that people might want to use.
That's something you guys all do really, really well, is just, you're so accessible. I know I've asked many questions over the years, so I appreciate every time you've answered. What do you think the next steps for data visualization are? Because right now we've got charts that can show PDO or expected goals versus actual goal differential. And we're doing a good job of showing the differences and showing, you know, heat maps even are more recent. Mika's putting out some interesting work that shows competition versus your teammates' ice time. What do you think the next step is where in this visual journey, I guess?
And I would go two ways answering that. In terms of, if you're thinking of sort of the hockey management side, I think that DataViz has something to offer there in terms of simplifying the message that you're giving to a coach, again, as I've said, or taking a variety of statistics and then deciding, you know, the scoring chances or the zone exits. This is something I can take to my defenseman. I can show and say, you know, we need to work on this. Coming from my angle as an author, thinking of writing at the Athletic, the way forward for Viz is to stop treating them as JPEGs, basically, to stop treating them as static images. But one of the beautiful things about Tableau, which is the program that I use to make my Viz, is that they're meant to be interacted with. So if you go on my profile at Tableau and view any of the visitor there, you can hover over the different data points. And I've, you know, there's information in there when you hover over the different icons. You can provide links inside too. So you can really have a rich experience rather than just, you know, a picture of a graph that you look at. They're meant to be interacted with, to be filtered, to be used in however that user envisions using them. And so how do we take their capability and bring it into the blog world? So when I write something at the Athletic, you know, we turn it into a static image. And so I have to, you know, choose those images carefully. What I would love to be able to do more often is provide the user, the reader, with the ability to filter through everything that, you know, strikes their fancy as they're going through. And so sometimes we're able to do it. We're not quite there yet. There's still some room to grow there for sure.
I will say I've liked the GIFs that you've been throwing out recently as well. I found just a quick way of seeing a bunch of players all at once and comparing them for the team without having to go into your Tableau and filtering on my own. So like when I'm on Twitter and stuff, that's been incredibly helpful. But yeah, I'm with you there. The ability to customize these charts, these ideas, these visualizations is going to be integral to really creating new ideas and bringing new people in. You know, it just helps to have a collective mind, I guess, is the way that I would describe it.
Right. And you think, why am I making these charts? The idea is to, you know, add something to the conversation. And so if it sparks an idea in someone else's mind, I want them to be able to follow that idea through and not be stuck with whatever it is I presented. So that idea of, you know, being inspired by an idea and filtering through for your own and doing some research, there's so much ability to pursue that. And it's a little bit limited in the way it gets presented right now. So it's definitely the way forward.
And you mentioned that it's limited. It was even limited, or it was so much more limited is I guess the way to describe it, earlier before we had this, because it used to just be text. When you had guys like Tyler Dello putting out video with his pieces, like that was huge. That was unheard of at the time almost. And so these visualizations have made it so much more accessible and so much easier to grasp quickly. Do you think they have at least played a part in the, so to say, explosion of hockey statistics?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say it in that direction, that now that we can take the stats and make them, you know, visually attractive or something that you can see a lot of different pieces of information all in the same view, that maybe contributes to spurring, you know, analytics forward a little bit more. But the relationship is almost certainly in reverse, that with all the stats that were available, it sort of forced us to find ways to create viz that could contain a lot of information in single views. If all that we had was, you know, CF percentage, and that's, we were stuck with Corsi and that was it, there wouldn't really be much need for it. But there's just so much. We have such rich sources of data that you need these viz to condense it into something digestible. So the relationship's definitely going in both directions there, that I think we're pushing the stats world forward by being able to visit, but we need these viz to handle all the stats that we have as well.
Certainly symbiotic. Every day it seems like I go on Twitter and I see someone being retweeted who I've never heard of before putting out an interesting image or graphic or visualization for people who are looking to get into this and maybe aren't sure where to start or aren't sure where to go. You just describe how you got into this and your advice to them if they're looking to do the same.
Yeah, so we sort of touched on this earlier. I've found my experiences on Twitter for sure are that for the most part, the people you bump into are willing to interact with you. They're willing to point you in the right direction. And you know, if you're asking questions, the inclination is to answer. So getting involved in the Twitter sphere, as scary as it can be sometimes too, it is definitely the way to go and to ask questions and to you know, find those people. For me, if I was, you know, somebody brand new who's saying, where do I go first? I think you want to start with some of the basics first. I think of all the reading on Tulsky I did early on, who you mentioned, and his stuff is still like a great place to start. The people at Hockey Graphs, they let me hang out there too. And and those writers do fantastic work. And they're, you know, producing current things too, that would be a second place to go for sure. And oddly, I still find myself tracking back to some of Garrett Hole's work at Arctic Ice, which, you know, we're going back a few years now, but he was sort of at the fore when some of these stats were gaining public acceptance, and some of his pieces there I still cite when I'm looking to write something up. So I'd recommend that sort of base reading first. Then if you're getting into viz, Tableau has been fantastic for me. It's not for everyone. There's a little bit of a learning curve at first, but it's really open to different kinds of data. It's really easy to manipulate. You catch on really quickly. And so, you know, people that are working in that realm right now, I think of Ian Fleming, who you had on in the past. He's making some beautiful stuff using Tableau right now. So he's somebody to look for sure. Others in the viz sphere, like Don't Tell Me About Heart, that's Dawson, is he makes great apps and does some great viz work. And then of course Mike is sort of the godfather in the sphere, and so going to hockeyviz.com and digging through the myriad things he has to offer there, you know, you get a lot of inspiration from the great work he's done. He's sort of the one we all look up to, I think.
Yeah, he's been a phenomenal just for creating this accessibility, I guess. You know, his decision to do this full-time really changed the amount of viz we have, and I've seen its influence on other people's visualization as well. So a lot of thanks go to him. But you know, you've got some kind words for Ian. He had some very, very high words for you as well. Clearly you guys like each other's work, and why not? It's been fantastic. You threw a couple names out there of people that you would recommend if you're just getting into it. You mentioned Garrett Hole, you mentioned Dawson, you mentioned Eric Tulsky. Anybody else that you would say, you know, if you're looking to get into stats or visualization, you know, this guy is a must read?
Yeah, I think like those are the big ones for sure. You want to go up and down the Hockey Graphs alumni and the current roster too. Those guys have been great. You have to touch on anything that you can find from Eric Parnas, anything you can find from Ryan Stimson for sure. Matt Cain, Carolyn Wilkie. These are all people that you can find as you go down the roster at Hockey Graphs. And it's really just, I think of it as a privilege that they let me, you know, associate with and hang out with them, because they're some of the best thinkers that are out in the public right now. And they're really gracious with their ideas and with sharing and with trying to explain themselves. So, you know, those are people I would turn to first for sure. Manny, who's Emmanuel Perry, he's the creator of Corsica. You know, we all owe a huge debt to him for taking up that torch after War on Ice closed. And he's got some great pieces to read at Corsica on their blog as well. So that's another place I would go if I was getting started and I wanted to take a look at some of the different ideas that are out there. He's, you know, a must read as well, for sure.
Yeah, you and Ian have a very similar list, and it's hard to disagree with. I mentioned Ian, I'll mention it to you. I'll throw Jen Neal in there as well at Puck Daddy. And oh my gosh, I'm blanking on her name. The other Jen, Chicago Blackhawks fan.
Yeah, Luke Castell.
Thank you, Jen LC.
Yeah, Jen LC.
On Twitter, right. her personal blog is filled with fantastic information. I can't believe I blanked on that. yeah, both of those women just very, very forward thinking. Manny's blog, especially on Corsica.ca, fantastic. Or Corsica.hockey, excuse me. Fantastic work there, especially if you're just getting into it or if you're interested in very math heavy stuff. His K explainer piece is phenomenal.
Yeah, exactly. It's some heavy lifting, but it's a worthwhile read. And if you have some of that math background to come with it too, then there's a lot to suck out of that for sure.
Certainly. Any plans for the future in your own visualization? What's next for Sean?
Well, I'm really excited that I'm working at The Athletic right now, and Scott Powers brought me on to the Chicago side, and then I'm working with James Myrtle. I mean, not working with, but working under for sure. And so these are some, you know, great voices in hockey, and I've got a weekly column at both of those places right now. And for me, the idea is, how do I take the viz that I'm making and then turn them into something that, you know, a subscriber to the site will enjoy and feel like, you know, this is a good use of my subscriber dollars, because it's the way that some of the blog sphere is going, that if you want to, you know, access some new and original content, then this is the way to go. And for me, the way has been following Ryan's lead and taking GIFs and taking different video and saying, these are the systems that we actually see happening in the game for the Leafs or for the Blackhawks in a lot of my writing now. This is how it plays out when we look at the stats. This is what it looks like on the ice. What do we want to see going forward? Is this, you know, a blip on the radar for Roman Polak, or is he actually potentially the worst zone exit defenseman ever conceived? And do they need to move on from him? Should we really free Corrado, or, you know, is it okay that he hasn't played? He's played one game this year. Like, how can we take the stats, look at the video, and then come up with some sort of real understanding? The battle is, when you're a viz person or a stats person, most people assume you don't watch the game. And so when you're trying to watch the game and be a voice there too, you really want to make sure that you've done the reading on systems and you've got something valuable to say on the actual on ice game too. And so that's a balancing act going forward. And it's where I'm focused right now.
You've put out some awesome stuff for systems. You had one video tweet that you put out. It was about Michael Kempney in Chicago. And it was just a simple play. It was, he went to make a smart breakout pass. It was blocked. He turned around, made a simple play. They get the exit. But it was that kind of visualization, that kind of video that I've always appreciated, just because it's something that's so simple to miss when you're watching the game. You know, it's happening so quickly. A little play like that, it's a non-play, but it's so important.
Right. And I think, you know, as a watcher, you really have to be careful, because you get lulled into the flow of the game sometimes. And, you know, until there's a big hit or a big scoring chance, maybe, you know, you're sipping your drink or your feet are up and you're kind of, I don't know, you just get into the flow of watching. But when you really break it down, we know that Kempney is a really reliable defenseman. He's not scoring a ton of points. So, you know, what is it that he's doing that's contributing? It's zone exits. It's, you know, more than his share of possession when he's on the ice. And so how can we look at the video and see what he's doing? And like you said, it's almost innocuous. The plays, he tries a breakout, doesn't work. He's calm. He, in that specific video, he refocuses and finds another simple breakout. And so, you know, it's little plays like that. They add up to give us the stats that we have on him. And so now we have some context that this player really has something to offer. And maybe we shouldn't be running Gustav Forsling out all the time, because he's not capable of doing the same things. And when we can take the stats and the video and come up with a conclusion like that, that's really well-founded, I think we're offering something, you know, useful to the community.
And I think that'll be the biggest impact. I remember last year I was doing a piece on Jared Spurgeon. This year I did one on Josh Manson. They're guys who they're like Kempney. They don't put up a ton of points. Spurgeon does. But the things they do so well are just so innocuous. That's the perfect word for it. And finding that and showing it to someone, because they are so easy to miss, I think is going to be the next big thing, for hockey statistics and visualization. It'll just be giving these defenders who maybe only put up 20 points a season the love that they deserve because they have been so astute defensively.
And I think like you're hitting it right on. And in my day job, I'm a teacher. And so you just made me think of it that what we're teaching math, we're always asking students to represent what they do with numbers, pictures, and words. And so give me that well-rounded picture that shows me you understand. And we're seeing something similar in the hockey stats world too. We have the pictures, the viz, we have, you know, the words that we can offer in our writing, and now we can bring the stats into it too, those numbers. And once you're touching on all of those aspects, you've got a really well-founded understanding of what players are really doing on the ice. And it's exciting to see that work is starting to be the way that people are moving. And, you know, I hope I can be part of pushing that part forward and that other people jump in on this boat too.
I'd argue you have been already. If you aren't following Sean, he is a must follow in the hockey world at Sharding Hockey. Make sure you go do that. Subscribe to The Athletic. He puts out wonderful stuff there. Check out some of his old stuff on Hockey Graphs. It's also phenomenal. Sean, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I've really enjoyed this talk.
And thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. You're doing some great work focusing on some good people here. So thanks.
Thank you. And some of the people that we mentioned in this show coming up on future episodes, not going to tell you, going to be a surprise. If you liked what you heard, though, you can check out all of the past episodes on lastwordonhockey.com. You can follow the podcast at GTD_podcast. You can follow myself at Colton Prale on Twitter. Until next week, have a good one.